Our gospel reading comes today from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, this is going to sound like a confession, but it isn't, okay? I bought a tomato plant. If you know me, yeah, David knows. If you know me, you know I naturally have whatever is the opposite of a green thumb. I killed a rosemary plant once in Florida, which is nearly impossible. It's very bad. So I saw a tomato plant, and it looked like it needed a home, and so I brought it home, and miracles really do happen, because in 4 weeks, it hasn't died, and yesterday morning, I noticed my very first little tiny tomato. Have you ever planted a garden? What are you planting? What's growing? And who's in charge? Let's pray. Holy God, speak to us a word this morning that you would have us hear. Help us to be people who are like clay, ready to be molded and shaped by your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today I'm going super millennial and we are using technology. I'm pretty proud. Friends, this is a mustard tree. Now, this is important. Please raise your hand if you have a garden or have had a garden. We're going to have a little participation. Oh, great. Awesome. So when we hear about the mustard tree or the plant, there's actually a bunch of different families I've learned about mustard plants. And so it's not like the greens that we usually grow here in Florida. But this plant grows in Africa and in the Middle East, and it grows just like the parable talks about. It pops up really quick and grows big. Now, I'm pushing the wrong button. We hear this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Now, if you've been raised in the church, you probably have heard this parable a lot of times. And I have too. I think there's something really powerful that we can learn from the kind of thing we usually take from the parable, that God takes a small thing and can make a big thing. So that's definitely true, but today we're going to explore a different perspective on this parable. Let's say we're going to go and we're going to build a garden, right? The first thing we have to do is figure out where is the garden going to be put? How do we find the spot where we're going to have the garden? What's got the right sun, the right kind of access to natural water? So we've decided, okay, we're going to plant stuff right here. Here's our spot. And so we've got to mark out the boundaries of where we're going to plant. We're going to test and till the soil. See those squiggly lines? That's tilling. This will tell you how limited my technology is. And then we're going to decide what to plant. So, you know, you get your kind of land ready, you mark out where you're going to be, you figure out how to get the soil ready, and then we're like, all right, it's Florida, so we're going to grow peppers, tomatoes, and squash. Okay. So we go and we plant the seeds, right? We are so excited. The ground is right. The soil is right. We put the pepper seeds and the tomato seeds and the squash seeds. We are anxiously awaiting the food we are going to make when this grows. We are excited. We water it. We fertilize it. We pull weeds and we keep the pests away, right? This is what we do. Please correct me. Am I missing any steps? For real? What we have to do in a garden? Okay, So this I'm really proud of. We pull the weeds, right? We've got to figure out how do we keep the weeds out. And not only do we have to keep weeds out, no bunnies, no birds, and no Bambis, right? Because they will eat what you have grown. I have learned that while they're cute, there are actually bunnies in our neighborhood. While they're cute, if you go planting things and you don't have kind of a marker for where the garden is and then where the animals go, then you just end up making a really expensive, nice lunch for the cute bunnies in your neighborhood. So we've marked it out, we've planted, we have weeded, we have fertilized this soil. We are excited about what God is going to grow, squash and tomatoes and peppers. And then we hear this story about a guy who plants a mustard seed. It grows bigger than everything else in the garden. And then the birds come and nest in its branches. You see, what I thought we were going to grow was peppers and tomatoes and squash, but the mustard starts to take over. And then the birds start showing up. Right? They're everywhere. They have made a home precisely in the place that we were trying to keep them out of. Yeah. The point of parables is not to serve as a cute way to tell you something that could easily be shared in a bumper sticker. The point is to make you think, to draw you in, to make you think more deeply about what you have thought was maybe just a nice illustration. This parable begs us to ask ourselves, what garden are we planting? Who is in charge? And what happens when it doesn't go the way we expect? This series, we are talking about abundance. We are in week 3 of talking about abundance, what it is, what it isn't, and how to have it. You may have caught on by now, the more scripture you read, the more you hear God talking about abundance. And very rarely does it actually mean what we might have chosen or what we think. Today's parable shows us the kingdom of God is like a tiny seed that becomes invasive and takes over everything that you thought was going to be in the garden. The kingdom of God is like a tree that grows in unruly ways, but not what you thought would grow or in the way we might have wished. The kingdom of God is like a tree that gets planted and ends up inviting in the very pests or people we may have planned to keep out. Birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The King James Version says the birds lodge. The RSV says they make nests. The image here is that they aren't stopping by, right? They've decided to pull up a chair. They are staying a while. You see, in God's big, beautiful garden, much like God's abundant community, it's not often what we want, or who we'd choose, or what we'd grow. In this tiny little story, we learn about God's ideas of abundance. The community of God is like a garden that doesn't make much sense to the neighbors. What's with all the mustard? The people of God are like a people who aren't sure what to do with all this mustard, but who will find a way for it to be helpful to somebody. The abundant family of God is like a neighborhood signpost, a public witness of something both strange, but somehow intriguing. This is the strangeness of the abundant community of God. If you have driven past this church or attended just once in person, or if you've seen some pictures on Facebook, if you're worshiping with us online, you know there is a giant front outside that reads, "You're welcome if." Honestly, when the leadership team wrote this sign a couple years ago, we wanted to get people's attention by saying what it can so often feel like the church kind of means. You know what I'm talking about. You're welcome if you look like us, or you act like us, or you vote like us. You're welcome if we share a budget size or an ethnic heritage. You're welcome if we hate the same people or believe all the same things exactly the same way. We wanted to make a public declaration and also an accountability statement for ourselves that God's welcome is for everybody. We wanted the community to know that we may not get it right all the time, but God does. And God's abundance is about radical hospitality and celebrating every surprise harvest. That sign is really rooted in images like the one that we learned from today. Our parable reminds us that if we are to be the people of God, we are called to love and serve the neighbors we actually have, not the neighbors we may have expected. God calls us, this quirky family of God, to live in abundant community and to celebrate the beauty of whatever God is growing amongst us. Be it mustard or peppers, retirees or babies, be it folks without housing or communities who have tragically felt rejected in other churches, like our LGBTQ neighbors. I don't know if you're in the same circles I'm in, but I hear a lot of talk about folks leaving the church. If I'm honest, there are a great many reasons that make sense to me about why folks have left. Many in my generation have been gut-wrenched by one church scandal after the other, and lots of us Christians were sold the lie that faith in our triune Lord doesn't have anything to do with our lives here and now. But let me tell you why I still believe that the abundant community of God lived out in the local church is a powerful witness. We're getting real, y'all, okay? I believe that when we are open to the Holy Spirit, is an invitation to what Eugene Peterson calls a long, slow obedience in the same direction. Many of you may remember Mr. Howard. If you spent much time with him, you knew he was grouchy and usually sick, and he spent most of his time on a park bench. He had a beautiful smile when he'd let himself smile. Mr. Howard did not have a place to live, but he helped set up meals on campus, even though he couldn't walk very well. He was a veteran who had lived a very hard life, and also he spent quite a bit of time poking fun at me. Occasionally, I'd ask him if he wanted like a pastry for breakfast, and he says, "It's not for me, though. It's for the raccoons. I'm going to fatten them up and eat them for lunch." I knew he wasn't doing that. He just messed with me. If you know him, you also know that he was messy, and sometimes he was a challenge in our little community. He did not attend church here, but he was on property every day of the week. Mr. Howard died during the pandemic, and Ryan was the person who got the call to collect his belongings. Because no one could figure out how to notify immediate family if he had any. This year, we celebrated All Saints Day in person. As we, in this small community, remembered 12 people who had died in the previous year, we asked folks to stand if the name shared was a family member or a friend. As we read Howard's name from the All Saints list, my eyes welled up with tears in this sanctuary. No prompting, no coordination. Lots of folks in this congregation solemnly stood. Yes, Howard was grouchy sometimes. Yes, Howard's mess was a pain in the behind, and it caused contentious conversations pretty regularly. But you all reminded me that the family of God is not made by blood or the will of human beings, but born of God's welcome for all people. The family of God shows up and grieves. The family of God stands. I believe this is the call to live out God's abundant community together. The world You guys, the world is hungry, is starving to see something different than "you're welcome if." The world is dying to know a God who builds a disruptive garden with a mustard branch just for you. The world is dying to know abundance apart from a selfish ambition. Amongst us, God is planting a garden. What is growing? And who's in charge? And how can we live in this surprising abundance together in awe of God's handiwork? This is our invitation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.